This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
I just wanted to make a sound because I was worried if we didn't move, people would think
Yeah, YouTube would kill the algorithm or kill us on the algorithm. Hi, everybody.
Welcome to Red Wings Rant.
We're tirades and passion, please.
For your Detroit Red Wings finally have a home. Hey, Justin Fields. Season's over. Hi, Chimmy.
Season's over. Oh, that's what Justin said. I thought that was going to be your greeting for the rest of the show. Hi, Justin. Season's over. Hey, Timmy. Season's over.
What a game.
Justin has lost faith in society. No, just lose faith in the Red Wings.
Yeah, you could still have faith in those Detroit Tigers.
Oh, great. Oh wait, did they come back and win today?
Yeah, they were losing like the whole game. They made Martin Perez, a career journeyman, look like a Cy Young Award winner. And then Pittsburgh's closer, who led the league in saves last year, managed to blow one game. So I don't know if we are going to just talk doom and gloom on this Red Wing podcast. Talk about Cody Rhodes having his Avengers Endgame moment at WrestleMania. Or we're going to just listen to Blake and his positivity. Blake, what a game, he says. They gave it all tonight.
What else
can you ask? Four games left, down 1 point.
Blake, for all the times that you and I have argued about what's going on with the Red Wings, this is incredible that this is the day you show up with positive news, a positive attitude. God bless you, Blake. I'm glad you're here. I agree.
So, yeah, I mean, let's kind of set the stage a little bit. We are minutes after Matt, this, I build it with a lot of people, you know, that I talk to about hockey. This is game of the decade. We've not been in the playoffs. It'd be seven straight seasons, right? Winning this game it would have been a colossal achievement because it would have put you two more points ahead of a direct peer. There's nothing more to really be said. This is a team you're jacking with. You're at home. This is a team with a horrible goal differential. If you could have just put one in, they usually just collapse and it's a landslide. But was not in the cards tonight. They actually played it was a really good game, honestly. It was a playoff game. A lot of intensity. I think there was a 9-minute stretch of gameplay where there was no whistles, no icing, goalie stopping the puck. It was beautiful to watch. It was awesome.
The ideal watching experience. I think
the Red Wings were playing really well defensively. They did have some sustained pressure offensively. And then Emily Kaplan talked to Derek Lalonde about the hockey game so far. And Mr. Penguin himself said, Oh, gee, you know, this, I really love the effort from the boys. I love us on offense. I love us on defense. Everything basically across the board, goaltending, everything's just been great. And then goal. Goal. What was
that? Strome puts in the first one, I think. I pulled up the box score on my phone.
I don't know if Lalonde knew he was jinxing the team, but almost immediately after, he gushed about how great his team was playing. We gave up the lead, and there you go.
Yeah, for all intents and purposes, you got shut out. Patrick Kane's goal just barely trickles in, and you make it 2-1.
I hate that he scored? Because I like him a lot, but it just makes me feel like, oh, man, now he's really going to leave. He's like,
when it's nut crunch time,
it's just me. It's just me. Who else is scoring on this team in big nut crunch time? Nobody.
I want to come back to Blake's point. And we did lose. Okay. Eric did jinx everything.
Guys, no, I'm doing some hardcore drinking tonight. This 2 liter is going to be gone.
Did you start with a full 2 liter of Coke Zero?
Yes, I did. Oh, and this Coke Zero is going to go down to zero. No Coke. But go ahead.
For the podcast listeners, I just saw a 1/3 full. Not 2/3 empty, a 1/3 full Coke Zero bottle. How come we don't play that game? How come we don't say 2/3 empty, 1/3 full? Anyway.
Can Michael Coke Zero himself to death? That's coming up next after the break.
go ahead. Mike, you did a great job of setting the stage of, you know, what the situation is, right? We just watched this game. Anybody listening to the podcast tomorrow and a couple of days going forward, you know, it's not going to be a... It's not going to be one. Hopefully you'll rant with us. Hopefully, you know, you'll let out some frustrations, because right now we're not feeling great. But Blake is correct. This was not the worst game we could have put on the ice. Derek Lalonde also correct. Even though he jinxed the hell out of us, he was very correct. We were playing great. We were whipping the puck at the net. Now, we missed quite a few opportunities to get a rebound, which does tell me, have we gone through and watched every highlight over and over? No. But if you're talking about getting a lot of chances on net, Lindgren's leaving up a lot of juicy rebounds and you're not burying them, that tells me the Wings, you know what, Washington is being Washington, right? With their huge negative 44 goal differential.
Yeah.
They play back. They're slow. They're old. Wings were throwing the puck at the net. They were not playing, even with the shot and chance advantage. They weren't playing strong enough. They weren't playing aggressive enough. I think the decision was going to be which team was going to put that extra forward closer to the net first, who was going to cheat that extra inch. And it seemed like Washington just needed to do it for the last 5 minutes of the second period, and the Wings never made that choice. So sure, they got a lot of shots on net, a lot of juicy rebounds, but you know, we didn't bring anybody to the blue paint, like Lalonde even called out, until there was 0.2 seconds left on the clock.
We got a few comments. They're flooding in, man. Dan B is here. Dan, welcome aboard, saying fire everybody. Bench everybody, buy out everybody, trade anyone left. Vomit.
Vomit emoji. I like the vomit emoji. That's one of my favorite. Red Wings fan club, two hot goalies in a row. Exactly what we need. Of course, referencing Mike Nedeljkovic up next. Woo!
Yeah. We also got Hockey Town Hoodlum coming in saying, to be honest, I would have wanted to get blown out rather than this. To play so well and get not a goddamn thing out of it.
Yeah, it's one of those things I know we haven't been without games like this. Like, rewind a year ago, you're playing the Tampa Bay Lightning and you need a win and you get goalied by Vasilevsky. Here we are again. We're just same sort of scenario here. Huge game, biggest game of the Iser plan. And you just can't put it in the back of the net. Now, both of those games, you outplayed your opponent. And you just couldn't get it done. Think about that breakaway where Dylan Larkin sees puck going at the net. He starts cheating the other way. David Perron finds him on the breakaway. That never looked like Larkin had the advantage. I don't know who is his counterpart, who the defenseman was. Never looked like he had the advantage. He never really got a good shot off. Yeah. There were quite a few plays in this game where it just kind of felt like not a step behind, but it was like we couldn't get that extra inch. And yeah, there's a lot of shots on net, but goddamn, was that game frustrating to watch? Because you had Perron getting wide open shots on the power play, and he's blasting it right into Wilson, who's right in front of him.
Fabry must have thought it was Christmas, because he got like four wide open gifts that he just could not. I can't think of another hockey player that gets himself in the best positions possible and does nothing with them. How do you have that dichotomy? Like, usually you're not going to get those gifts if you don't know what you're doing. Like, you're not even going to be in the spot to get the pass. But hey, he's always right there. Like, you know those plays where it's like behind the opposing goalies, like on the boards, and the puck just kind of flutters into open ice. You're like, oh, I hope there's a Red Wing right there. It's always Fabry, and he never scores.
Yeah, he seemed to be dragging his line into like some sort of like relevance, because he kept getting in that spot to put the puck away, but he obviously can't do it. But he's he's out there. What his line today? That was Kopp and Fisher, right? Like that. Oh my God! Can you imagine
tough one to succeed on? Yeah.
If any team around the league, if you're talking about going into this game and you have to rely on that being on the ice like half the time for your forwards, I'm sorry, not half the time, quarter of the time. Good gravy. And that's not even your fourth line. that's rough.
We have Matt. It's a different Matt, not Red Wing Rant Matt. This is a Red Wing Rant fan named Matt. He's just going hot in the comments saying Red Wings are so meh. Apologies to MJF. I'm going to say they're mid. They're probably the most mid team in the league. I want Fisher, Fabry, Perron, Petrie, Ghost, Valeno, Kopp. Axe them. Kind of echoing what Dan B said. Just kind of blow this thing up. No one does one thing to step up. I don't know. I think the comment that I agreed with the most was it's like I'd rather have gotten blown out. And what I'm afraid of is that they're like, the boys, they were real close, in the 23-24 season. So we decided to emotionally retain the exact same roster and see if we could do it again and, kind of creep up to that maybe even not the 10th spot, maybe like the 9th spot, and then just be like 1 point out of the playoffs. So what an accomplishment that would be for these boys. And I think the fans would be really excited to know they were the 9th best team in one conference, So I think that they just got a little too excited and their expectations were a little ahead of them. Because the way this system works, is you go from like the worst team for like 5 years, and then you creep up to like the 12th worst team. And then year by year, you incrementally get better by like 2 to 3 points. So hopefully by, the time one of, DeBrinkich kids is like 26 years old, we'll have a team that this city will be really proud of.
Now, look, we're frustrated right now. There were some things that weren't just Dylan Larkin running out of gas, Perron blasting it right into Wilson, who's right in front of him. how about DeBrinkert passing one up between the circles close to the start of the third period, where it's just like, all right, dude, you're not going to fire it when you're between the circles. What are we doing? I got to watch him from the side of the net. It's almost like we're getting to the point where DeBrinkert would rather throw the puck at the net at a worse angle so he could be like, I mean, come on, look at that angle. What the fuck was I going to do? And he passes up these shots right in between the circle for the pass that he actually went for. Way. I think it was towards Compher, way behind Compher. Play dead. Puck goes the other way. So that was happening to us while we were playing again, what I think was a very good 30, 35 minutes to start this game, and then it just kind of got away from us. But we do want to talk about refs kind of fucked us on this one a couple of times, especially with the blatant high stick to Andrew Kopp, which we were told could not be reviewed because it wasn't an injury. Yeah. Kopp suffered a broken cheekbone on that high stick.
Wow.
So refs were just like, there's no blood, not an injury. Keep going, boys. Can't review it.
My apologies. I thought that he was just doing a little Rodney Dangerfield in Caddyshack. Oh, my arm! You know, and trying to get us into the penalty box. So,
broken, I guess
bittersweet
cheekbone news.
Yeah.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah, that can't feel good. But being a hockey player, I'm sure he'll be playing against Pittsburgh anyway.
Yeah. That's still, it's one of those things where it's like, really? Like, things aren't going your way, and that kind of thing just gets taken away from you, but.
There's two comments I want to touch on. One is Crimson said, glad I was out fishing. Yeah, did you catch anything, bud?
Good for you, Crimson. Yeah.
And another one is, this is probably the darkest comment of the episode. Not Red Wings Matt. Red Wings Rant Matt. Other Matt saying the issue was as playoffs got closer, every team stepped up their game like they should. And the Wings just got left in the dust and have no extra level of play.
Oh,
Matt, I think
that
comment really hurts because it terrifies me that that's the case. And yeah. I think that it also ties together, you know, I wish we just kind of got blown out like, oh, it was an effort thing. We just, you know, we weren't, you know, the other team just had a little pep in the step. We couldn't match their energy, but we were trying really hard. This wasn't a Red Wing team that's like beat up. I mean, you know, we were missing Big Rass, but, you know, all your big dogs are out there. You had, you know, Sweet Baby Ray. You had Larkin fighting off the flu. You had Kane. You had
Cider had diarrhea, I thought.
He played like diarrhea quite a few times today. So I just, you had your big dogs out there, and it didn't really matter. The big dogs on Washington were just a little bit better, a little bit more ready. And Ovi, my God. The way they talked about him playing, if there's a power play, he just plays the full 2 minutes.
Yeah. Like
they don't really have a power play one and a power play two. It's just Ovi, and they switch out a few guys around him. He only played like 14 minutes tonight, Matt. He played 14 minutes, and he contributed and like helped them win the game.
I feel like that should be like 14 fucking minutes. Like that's how you should deliver that line.
So I think with Matt's comment, it really bums me out because it does kind of feel like this team is at its peak. And I mean, I don't know if we're going to be getting even better play. Somebody was paraphrasing a newsy comment about, you know, it's a process and these boys are going to learn how to win. I mean, are we going to expect better play from Kopp and Compher as they enter their age 30 seasons? Are we going to be re-signing David Perron at age 36? Are we expecting Robbie Fabry to be better from 28 to 29? Not too sure about all that, Matt. Lest we forget Zarnik. He's not really a rookie. He's 31. He just doesn't play a lot in the NHL. Joe Valeno, you know, was the ice haunted? No, that's just the ghost of Joe Valeno floating around because he's not contributing anything. And I mean, Christian Fisher, I can't hate him. I feel like he's giving an effort out there. He's hitting people. He's putting some slap shots on the net. I can't kill him for that. So it doesn't feel like, you know, these are a bunch of Raymonds, you know, on the cusp of greatness. It feels like a, you know, retirement home emptying out, and you know, this is it.
Yeah. And what was kind of nice is this table we're showing right now. So we're showing from the Red Wings 2-1 loss to the Capitals, our favorite hockey stat cards, which is a great representation of the gamer score that your team brings to the ice.
There's so many good comments. I got to cut you off real quick. Cause
yeah, No, it's fine.
Well, first of all, Crimson did get back in fine. Touch. He said one small largemouth bass and missed one decent size largemouth. Well, that's nice to hear. Sorry about that. Little bittersweet fishing news there. What was the other one that I really liked? Just saying zebras missed some calls, but we know that's not why they lost. Matt, you're coming in hot today. Double Matts. Because again, I would not blame this loss on the referees. I thought they refereed like this was a playoff game. Matt, I don't know if you agree with that sentiment, but it feels like for the most part, they let them play. And I even feel like you could have almost called back that the too many men on the ice power play that we finally got. And I think Jared's coming in there too. Did the refs help? No. But I don't think anyone expected Lindgren to put on a fucking Vezina performance.
Right.
And Jeff Love coming in with what I think could be another comment of the episode. Why are the Wings taking low shots on the pads? Which is a good strategy. You know who does that a lot is Patrick Kane. Because he's really good at, you know, those ninja assists. But yeah, we take these low shots on the pads and nobody's ever in front of the net. Jeff, I don't have that answer for you. I don't know if that answer's on this roster, especially with Big Rass not playing. There's no Soderblom, so I don't know what big boy is going to be in front of the net scoring those goals, because it's not 35-year-old Perron anymore.
Yeah. You're getting to a point where you're really starting to see if that's going to be the way the Wings want to play and generate some traffic up front. You're not counting on any of these old bones getting up there and making those plays. And even Patrick Kane, who puts one in at the end of the game, like that, he's great at that, but keep him away. His brittle bones are ready to turn into dust. We need to keep him as safe as possible. But yeah, this is something like I brought up earlier. I think one of the things here is that the Wings weren't crashing the net because they were so worried about giving up an odd man rush in this game. They wanted to keep it tight. So yeah, like it kept getting called out like, oh, another juicy rebound that nobody's around to pick up. I think it's because they were playing tentative. It did well for the shot total, but they needed to be the team where, like I said before, I think this game turned into which team was going to send that extra guy in. And the Capitals had this fantastic choice of doing it. They were able to get a short change. They were able to take advantage of Compher being unable to clear the puck because he was tired. The furthest guy from the net was at the top of the circle, like right between the circles, a little lower than the top of them. That's your furthest guy from the net. So they were attacking the net and boom, it's 1-0. Caps were the first team to take that chance. And yeah, from there, then the Caps get another one from their super duper greatest goal scorer of all time, Alex Ovechkin. We're not just talking about like, you know, we arguably have generationally a comparable talent on our team in Patrick Kane, but the difference, I would say, even though I think we're not taking anything away from Patrick Kane, the advantage Capitals have in having Ovechkin on the team, it's just, you can't, there's no comparison. The greatest goal scorer of all time is on the Washington Capitals, Mike. It just so happened he'd started turning it on since February. And guess what? It's past February, still turning on. So at that point, it's 2-0. What were you going to do at that point when the Capitals have this opportunity now to just shut you down, keep you to the outside, not give up any juicy chances? Like I mentioned, even Dylan Larkin getting that breakaway, he's Dylan fucking Larkin. His whole game is speed, and he couldn't get the edge on the Caps because they were ready to turn around and skate back and protect Lindgren, who also played his nuts off. So yeah, Lindgren did have a great game, but I think the thing that we were missing, we weren't that aggressive team. And for a coach who said, I'm sending out the bat signal to get Dan Campbell in here to talk to my boys because I can't do it. You didn't need to talk to him, Derek. And I don't think you really coached a terrible game here because I think this is what both sides decided to do, but you had to hit the accelerator first. You were the home team. You had to hit it first. You had to get these 2 points. You could have really put yourself in a position here to lock down this playoff spot going into Pittsburgh. And they didn't. I really think that was the difference there. You can go back and watch that Washington Capitals replay. They turned it on for 5 minutes and then said, we're just going to keep these guys away from, we're just keeping them away from the front of the net. And here we are. It sucks. I know.
It does suck. A few more comments coming in here. Crimson, after his nice day fishing. I'm sorry that the Red Wings ruined the day for you. Commenting, 5 years for rebuild, only to end up looking like Ken Holland's team of old men with the 6th oldest team in the league. And Matt, it's not looking good. A lot of us remembering that, hey, why aren't we putting out an Amber Alert for Alex DeBrincat? Questionable bad contracts are on the books? Things don't look great. And Crimson, God, I don't think we can ever forgive Lalonde for that. What was that movie? Inside Out, when you're making core memories. Him saying, you didn't expect us to be here. It is an infuriating comment. I don't think I'm ever going to forgive him for that. And people dropping the Rasmussen stats. Yeah, he's not a top 6 guy. I think we had one more. The boys were commenting. It was Ketzel and Jared just saying, I would have been fucking crying if I had my cheekbone broken. I'm just kind of look pissed off. And Dan B saying, as much as he's contributed, I question offering Kane a deal that may end up looking bad next year. I wouldn't worry about that, Dan, since he's going to lead our team in points. He's basically leading the team in points now, and he missed, 2 months?
Yeah, I mean, I do get where Dan's coming from. I don't want to put us in. I think if you're bringing Kane in, you've got to negotiate with yourself on which one of these other old farts, not as old farty as Patrick Kane, but anybody in their 30s has got to go.
We just saw what you can do with that. He was our only goal scorer today at age 35, and we just watched Ovechkin clinch a victory for his team. So I think you're allowed to have one super talented Hall of Famer old guy on your team who's still got it.
I know what you're saying.
Being on our team.
I just think there's two moves. If you're bringing Patrick Kane in, you're also saying goodbye to another 30. And I think you might even have to lose to get rid of one of those turd sandwiches that you're stuck with for the next couple of years. Losing is also that also includes buying out a contract. So, all right, ladies and gentlemen, we're here. We are now looking at the standings. Kate, we've talked about it for a little bit. We started with a 60% chance. These numbers are all over the place. So I think you could correct me and throw out a number in the 50s. I don't care. Throw out a number in the 40s. But now we are most certainly into the low 30s as we've dropped below Pittsburgh with 4 games to go. Because Pittsburgh's got the advantage on those regulation wins. Of course, we're behind Washington, who now has 85 points over our 84. We're a point ahead of Philly, who's just absolutely have shit the bed. Mind you, after his press conference where he said, it doesn't fucking matter if you were supposed to be here, you're here, and you play like it. Whew. That speech didn't work either. Maybe it's the personnel, Mike. Maybe you don't bring on Jeff Petrie. Count on a guy who had core surgery. And bring in a guy who benefited from throwing pucks to Rantanen and McKinnon. Anyway, the New York Islanders are at 85 points. So their spot isn't solidified either. They're third in the Metro, which still means while the Red Wings do not have 2 different channels into the playoffs, like their counterparts here, Philly, Pittsburgh, Washington, and the Islanders, That is a truth. However, these teams could keep knocking each other out of the Metro and could leave space wide open for the Wingdings to sneak in. Look, it's not over. You beat Pittsburgh on Thursday. You hop over them with three games to go. And you're going to have a Toronto Maple Leafs team who couldn't give less of a fuck at that point. They're probably just going to be resting guys. Do I expect to go into Toronto and win? No, but certainly there. But my big worry is still you're ending the season with Montreal, who just kicked the ever-loving shit out of Philadelphia today, which is my concern. That's been my biggest worry all season. I've been mentioning it since January that if we were in a fight for a playoff spot, I don't want it to come to those last two games. It is absolutely going to come to those last two games against Montreal. Oh my God. Do I not want to see us lose two straight games to Montreal when that might be our best shot. But anyway, it's not over. Right. So just to kind of recap here again, Islanders, Capitals at 85 points. We're at 84. Islanders actually have a game in hand. I'm just now realizing, Pittsburgh at 84 and the Flyers at 83. Again, it's not over. Your two best goal differentials out of that whole group are Pittsburgh at +4 and your Detroit Red Wings at +2. You're looking at a -23, a -40, and another -23. That's the Islanders, the Capitals, and the Flyers. Mike, these are bad teams. I don't think we have to worry at all, but it certainly could have felt a little closer to done if you could have fucking won tonight, but you didn't. So you did, yeah. But you didn't. You didn't get it done, but it's okay. That's Gary. That's Gary Bettman.
Oh, okay. I thought you were doing David Cross.
David Cross.
David Cross, if you care,
if you
bit.
And if you can. All right.
Yeah, so but you don't,
So, again, just to recap here, Mike, you keep an eye on those comments.
I had a few coming in hot because we had a double Matt and now we got double Michael. Michael, welcome aboard, saying DeBrinkert's to blame for everything.
Oh my God. No,
he's coming in hot
for everything.
Cross ice pass,
global warming,
not the problem.
Terrorist attacks, 9/11. Jesus, Michael.
I will say I don't think he doesn't try. I do think that it's frustrating for what he's getting paid to see the point production where it's at. I don't have like immediate confidence that something nice is going to happen when he has the puck like you do when 35-year-old Kane does. I'm like, wow, some really cool patient play is about to develop and somebody's about to be wide open that I don't have the imagination to even come up with. That Patrick Kane's hockey brain can do.
Oh boy.
Matt, real quick.
Yeah.
Somebody said with cop out, do we see Casper?
Ooh, that'd be cool. That'd be pretty neat. Why not?
That we're gonna see Berggren again. And he's kind of underwhelmed every time we've seen him. I'm a little afraid, guys, that he's the Red Wings, Jacob Turner. So just.
It's Mike, the answer to everything. It's how he's deployed. So he's perfectly fine. He's great forward. Guys, I gotta call you out. I want to bring it. I want him to shoot between the circles. Like I mentioned before, my man is having a 60 point season. 24 goals, 36 assists. I mean, we don't have the $12 million player on our team. Okay? So we're not going to get the 100 points out of this. You know,
Matt,
like
you sound like somebody we know and love. You sound like Derek Lalonde.
No, come on.
You know, you got to trust DeBrinkert's process out there. He's not a $12 million player. He's a pretty okay, like, you know, $7 million player. So yeah. Just expect about 60 points and just be happy with that, you fucking pieces of shit.
Yeah.
That's when the loan finally breaks in a press conference.
You can want for more, but these were the pieces that we're still hoping for. That super duper star that's gonna step in, right?
But real quick, Danby saying never. He's saying this tongue in cheek, but never fear, the savior Billy Huso is ready to play. I honestly, we're okay in goaltending. When we really crapped the bed, it was when everybody was hurt, and you know, Aiden Hutchinson's long lost cousin Steve Hutchinson was playing in goal. Was that his name? Hutch, Steve Hutch, or Chris Hutch, whatever that jabroni's name was.
It was Hutchinson.
Huso and Lyon Michael. And even Reimer. Michael Hutchinson. Oh man, making the other Michaels look bad. Thanks, bud. Yeah. Our goaltending was actually kind of adequate this year. It was fine. It's not like we had the worst goaltending. We had a few stretches where it was a little rough, but that was because of boo-boos.
Yeah.
Man, and this team needs more talent. I think they're fine in the goaltending pipe. I think they're going to be fine with Kosa. And who's that? That other kid from Michigan State. What's his name?
Trey Augustine.
Yeah. They're fine at goaltender. I agree. They need more talent, guys who score and guys who defend, who aren't 30 fucking years old.
Yeah. I mean, Vegas won the cup last year. I don't know. We're looking at a team that had Alex Lyon in net to get themselves, who Vegas beat, in the Stanley Cup finals, had Alex Lyon to help them get into the playoffs. Jesus, was that hard to get out? I can't, and I will never. Like, we cannot give up prospects. I do not want to overspend for a goaltender. It's God damn it, guys. It's everyone around them. Please. I saw going about some of our competitors putting out their, are we going to go for old fart goaltenders across the league. I think it was Markstrom that was the latest video. And it's just like, come on, man. Let's not make a trade for a guy who's on and off, is going to be going at 35. And we still haven't figured out what we're doing. Are we going to decide to start owning the puck? Do you make that decision? Or are we all happy with Moritz Seider leading the league in block shots? Look, I didn't want to talk about this today, Mike. My hot take on that stat fucking sucks. It's great for Moritz Seider. A leading the league in block shots statistic means you're also not holding on to the goddamn fucking puck. Okay? So we can all stop celebrating that if we could, please. Great. I'm so happy that Seider will lay out and take a puck.
There's a role for that, but you know, the great defensemen in this league are not necessarily like the guys that I want. I don't want, you know, like Cale Makar blocking. I don't want Nick Lidstrom blocking because you're too valuable. Yeah. I don't want you to get hurt taking a puck. I'd rather you poke check and get control and lead it the other way. It's like in basketball, it's like doing a huge block out of bounds. So then the other team just gets the ball back. Great. What you should do is block it and keep control of it and then give your team a possession going the other way. So yeah. I'm not as enamored of leading. It makes for great podcasting when we agree. But yeah, I don't see that it's like that antiquated feeling we had for a little while of, you know, winning faceoffs. And then we figured out that didn't really translate to victories. It's like two stats that don't really do a lot. We can retire them as being relevant.
It's owning the puck, and you got to put yourself in a position where you're not so scared to give up an odd man rush that you don't waste those juicy rebound opportunities, like we did today. So, yeah, I think we're still player personnel.
Yeah,
player personnel. Okay, we did it. We solved the Red Wings problem.
By the way, Cross Ice Path does want to fact check us on Lidstrom black shots. Oh, he might be saying Lindstrom, so I think he's being funny there.
Oh. Okay, Pittsburgh. What do they have left?
Before you get to Pittsburgh, I do want to touch on this because I can't remember which one of our commenters in the Discord mentioned it too, but Jeff Love saying, Seidman already looks like the best player on the team. Was it when he played the, like, we had our best first period in a while and he played half of it? It's just mind-blowing that it took this long for this guy to get called up. Mind-blowing. Yeah, we weren't sure we're going to get him minutes at the NHL level. Really? He couldn't unseat Jeff Petrie and Justin Hall and jabronis like Sherrod? Come on, man. Ridiculous. And Dan B saying, imagine if they called up Seidman to start the year, they wouldn't have signed Petrie or Hall. We'd have all this other cap space to allocate towards good players. I don't know, Matt. These comments, it's like, I don't want to like fester negativity, but it's like, I'm so tired. This is such a frustrating experience as a Red Wings fan, to know that I will be stunned if we back into the playoffs. Like, we don't really deserve it. Like, we're just going to get annihilated.
Okay. Nicholas Lidstrom, 990 block shots.
Okay.
Over 20 years, that's 49 block shots a season. Like,
that's one every other game almost.
You can block a fucking shot. But I'm telling you, you don't have to if you have the goddamn puck. God damn it.
I think he said Lindstrom, though. I think he's funny. Yeah.
No, he corrected himself. He's like, Nick, spell check does that.
Oh.
Angel face. 200. What is he at? 220?
Oh, he's going to catch Lindstrom and be the Red Wing leader here pretty soon.
Yeah, he's going to lead all Red Wings in block shots for, like, our best all time.
Yeah.
Perfect. Great.
When he blows a pedal and it's like, he fell over himself, he's probably nursing another bruise or dislocation or broken bone from blocking another shot.
There is legit a conversation about keeping your best defenseman healthy that this is not a long-term solution. Yes, get hit in the leg 200 times a season by a screaming rubber puck. How many times have we seen Seider like, oh no, he's hurt? Like, that's happening because he's dropping down 220 times. Thank you, Seider, for doing it. Yes, this is nothing. Seider is doing the best he can with what he's got out there. But I'm gonna keep hammering on this, and you guys think I'm crazy. I don't think the only solution here is replacing Jeff Petrie, because you know what? The next guy is gonna have to be in the defensive zone trying to stop the negative, you know, the 40% expected goals for percentage again. You've got to get ownership of the puck and hang on to it.
So all we right. have some math extrapolations here. Jared saying that's over 4,000 blocks in a 20-year career. Unbelievable. Now, I admire Cross Ice for saying, like, he's got to dig the heels in a little bit, because it's not like there aren't good defensemen who block shots. So he's saying, you know, like, Victor Hedman blocked a ton, right? He's awesome. Who wouldn't want him on your team? I think the point we want to make, Cross Ice, and you're not wrong at all, mm-mm. it's like, this team has two good defensemen, Mo and Seidman, who's a fresh infant right out of the cradle. And it's like, we can't afford to have Seider blocking shots because we have so little talent on this team. We can't afford the risk of him breaking something or bruising something. I think that's our main concern. We can't afford to have our best defenseman blocking shots.
Victor Hedman per season.
Oh, God.
107.2. Moritz Seider has a few games left, and he's already more than doubled Victor Hedman's average blocks per season. Again,
and I don't want to hammer Cross Ice. I don't think that it's an invalid. Like, someone has to do it. Just on this team, we can't afford it to be Mo.
Yeah, and it's and the number's so high because you don't own the puck.
Dan Crimson saying, wasn't that the selling point Yzerman had for trading for Hall, being nothing but a puck blocking dummy? Yeah, and if you fire up the hockey reference, this idiot gets hit with pucks all the time. But he's just so bad at everything else, we can't skate him. why nobody was competing for him, to be a crash test dummy.
So Beck, we can hit this a little bit faster.
Real quick, attempt of the episode. Jared saying Hall blocking pucks in the press box. Wonderful, Jared. Once again, you've set a new bar for Red Wings Rant Comedy.
Hey, please, you know what?
Stop. Yeah,
not a single puck got through.
Ooh, Decoy, God bless you. I hope you had a great time watching WrestleMania. That was one of the best WrestleManias I've ever seen. Saying Cider is the Mick Foley of the NHL. Yes. Anyway, Matt, I'm so sorry that we got off track. The comments were coming in really good, and I wanted to touch on.
Oh, now I'm looking for
some Mick Foley falling off balance
block shot statistics. Just to like, I don't
know that you're.
It,
I know your lizard brain is like, yeah, I gotta win this debate. Yeah.
No, I'm done. I'm done. I'm done.
We're all on the same team here. We're all ranting. All right. What's your next point?
All right. Well, it doesn't sound like
runs. Move on.
Pittsburgh, Mike, who do they have up next? They've got us.
Ooh, they got one easy one on Thursday. And then they got a tough one against Boston. Holy crap. Their schedule sucks.
I know. They've got some toughies.
It's good for us.
Boston, yeah. Nashville, who's pretty hot right now. And, the Islanders. But yeah, that could be a game. That could be a game that if you could get out of that one with no overtime, could do wonders for our wingdings. Capitals. Man, they had a nice win today after blowing it against Ottawa. Man, losing to the Hurricanes, getting destroyed by Pittsburgh, getting destroyed by Buffalo. And then they come in, they just waltz right into Detroit, walk out with
basically
2 points.
Shut us out.
But who's to say? Like, why would any of this change for the Capitals, right?
Their cupcake games are over.
Yeah, they proved they can't beat Buffalo. Then they've got the Lightning, who might still be trying to chase Toronto if Toronto's just completely been like, I don't care anymore.
Yeah.
Then they've got the Bees, and then finish it off with the Flyers, which, again, huge game. Those two teams are not going to be playing for overtime, right? They're going to need those 2 points. Flyers, guess what? They're also ending the season in that same game. But they've only got 3 left, one against the Rangers, one against the Devils, and then again that Caps game. And then the Islanders here.
Do you have the graphic for that? It's okay if you don't.
Oh, whoopsies. I had all of them, and I haven't been sharing
them.
You had
the last two. You just missed the Caps.
Got it. Okay. Islanders win today 4-2 against the Rangers. Then they've got, man, world beaters in the Montreal Canadiens, who took out the Flyers today on Thursday. The Rangers,
looking forward to playing them twice.
Yeah. The Rangers again, for the New York Islanders this Saturday. Then the Devils, who could just want to play spoiler. Very tough team. Devils are a very good team. I think things just didn't work out injury wise, goaltending wise, but the Devils can get a win. No problem, especially at home. And then Wednesday, April 17th, as we've previously mentioned, Penguins and Islanders. I'm going to play
this. Can we see the Red Wings one real quick, too?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Pittsburgh, Toronto, Montreal.
Yikes. I know that Crosby, I'm hoping that he rubbed elbows with the Pittsburgh Pirates closer, because I know he was in attendance today. So it'd be really nice if he could blow a game in the last couple minutes as well. I am really not looking forward to that Toronto spanking that we're going to get on Saturday.
Yeah.
And now Montreal is like, hey, let's ruin some people's lives. So I'm not excited for that home and home either. Man, these are stressful games coming up.
Yeah.
I thought today was the win. This is the one I felt the best about. I was there, Matt, when it was 8-3. I was like, we're taking on the world. Let's go. And now it's today I felt neutered. I felt neutered.
Was that against Washington, 8-3?
Yep, that was 8-3. Yep.
Wow. No, you're right. There's no reason with a game with the 8-3 win we should have been leaving those pucks out in front of the net. So here's the thing. I look at all of those schedules. I do still think, especially where I consider Toronto's season to be done by Saturday. They don't need to do anything else. I think statistically it's not, but it's done.
Matt, let me hit a few comments here because Dan B is saying, so glad you guys did the show tonight. You guys and alcohol are helping ease the pain.
Oh, thumbs that's up. So sweet.
Smiley face.
It's the best thing I've ever heard.
Brand new saying, cop faking a bloody head with that high stick was his best play of the season. It still sucks. No. Not trying a penalty. No, brand new. No, broken cheekbone. Brand new. No, no, no.
He broke his face.
Face is broken. No, no, no. We got to be okay with that one. Let's see. Oh, Jason. I'm sorry if I butcher your last name. Is it Preet or Preet? Saying winner moves on Thursday. In this matchup, loser is out. Certainly looks that way. I thought I had one more in here for you. Jason, again, forgive me, is it Preet or Preet? Jumping in there with the broken cheekbone news to help us out. The other Matt saying, surprised fans didn't boo the Wings tonight at the end of the game. Matt, I was this close to buying tickets, and then I knew Matt wanted to do the show tonight, so I was like, no, I'll just stay home. And I looked at the prices for them. They're like $400 in the lower bowl for a Tuesday night against the Capitals. I'm like, I can't justify a new PlayStation 5 to watch this game. And then Wings over Alberta saying it's called the way it is. NHL wants Ovi in the playoffs. Actually, I would say I think Derek Lalonde wants Ovi in the playoffs because he was pretty excited about that first period. And then let's go ahead and fold it in, boys, and let's get those Capitals in there. So we'll give them two goals, and we'll shut up this fan base by getting a goal with 1 second left when it doesn't fucking matter. All right. Good learning experience, boys.
Dan B, actually, with a good point. Since Austin Matthews is going for 70 goals, we probably can't rely on them waving the white flag and saying they're done for the year. Damn it. Yeah, there's probably there's a lot to take from that, but fuck.
Yeah.
Kind of just you kinda, maybe Austin just goes off and I don't know. Didn't he get a hat trick against us when he got 60 the first time to hit 60? Is that true? Am I just playing this off in my head? Jared, was it just me or did no one cheer when Kane scored? I wasn't.
I think I reacted much like Kane did. I just
like, oh, great.
Just kind of, yeah, stoic. It's just, you know what they really should have done, Jared? And it really kind of grated my cheddar a little bit is they still play that stupid Eminem song.
Oh.
It's really messed up when you're gonna lose. It's really messed up. You know what they need is just this. A lot of our listeners are of the age where they're very familiar with Barry Sanders. We should have just Barry Sanders did after that goal. Just quietly go back to center ice, not play. It's just it's completely tone deaf. Like, I don't know if there's an autofill button every time we get a goal and the guy in the production studio is like, I can't stop it. I'm sorry. I can't. It just plays for 30 seconds.
Jim loved your singing there, Mike.
I thought that was a pretty good rendition, Jim.
That actually, that was right on point, Jim.
Yeah.
Mr. Johnson. Jeff Love, I love how the big screen told the fans to get loud when we had zero goals. How about I get my $400 worth and I'll cheer when they take the lead? Yeah, I've had my fair share of games where we've been getting blown out, and I will have my wife with me and I will just sit there, arms folded. Now it's 4-1, everybody's cheering, and I'm just fucking. Meh. That's a real Red Wings fan. I'm gatekeeping Red Wings fandom when you're down 4-0.
Listen, I am going to gatekeep music till the day I die. And I got to say, when you're losing, house music is fucked up. I'm not ready for that. That it doesn't make me like increase my intensity.
Yeah.
It redirects my anger towards the guy in the music studio, not at the other team that the Red Wings are playing on the ice. Like, all I want to hear right now is Slipknot and Slayer. I just want to hear anger, because that's how I feel. I'm not ready for house music. I'm not ready to clap and dance. I'm mad. I'm not ready to sing Journey. I'm not ready to sing Puddle of Mud. I'm not ready to sing Blink 182. I want Slayer, and I want it when I'm losing. That's what I want. Is that too much to ask? Is it too much to ask to hear Raining Blood?
Is Disturbed? Is that hard, or is that just me when I was just a kid and I thought it was? Like, does Disturbed go hard? But,
you know, we're old now, so we can admit they're out there making money. You know, they're out there, Beyonce doing a country album. I can't kill them for making money, but yeah, they're not hardcore anymore. So,
trying to pull up. There's our playoff bracket. All right. Clearly,
cross ice. Slayer.
If you could all guess who's in the playoffs, Blake has been begging us to talk about the ESPN Fantasy League, where your two favorite members of that league were eliminated in back-to-back rounds. Mike, you eliminated me by 1.5 points. Actually, we could share this right now. Nobody look at my tabs. Bunch of porn. Just porn tabs all over. I'm just ready to go. Mike, you turned in a similar performance the next week that you needed to beat me. However, Ketzel, who I don't see in the chat anymore, he almost doubled you up, Mike, which also led to what our finals look like right now. Ketzel?
I can't. Yeah, there's nothing you can do when a guy's shooting 100% from downtown. I'm like, what? You know,
all right, it's over.
I gave him 194 points. It happens. No.
Oh, you know what? I shared this correctly. So I didn't share the tabs. London throws in there, zoom in on tabs. I actually did this the right way this time. I usually share full screen.
Quick landed.
one day I'm going to be totally fucked. There's going to be some porn on here that will define Matt for his future. Anyway, congratulations, Ketzel. Congratulations, Blake. You guys are in the finals. Again, for anybody who's joining Red Wings Rant for the first time, we always do our fantasy league year after year. We have just a few days left in this season, and the winner will have their choice of either Red Wings tickets or a Red Wings official. Ketzel's not here, so I could say this prime green authentic Adidas jersey with the priority patch.
Let's go. That's what I was hoping for.
Priority patch included. Congratulations to the boys. Look forward to seeing who's going to win. This would be Ketzel's second year in a row winning the jersey. Keep in mind, yours truly won the league last year.
Mysterious 10th of a point.
I don't know what you're talking about, but you know, in this season, and I was
I
just kind of like
too much, man, because no one cares.
But. No, I, you know, honestly, this year, I just wanted to.
I didn't
let
even
you guys
glow
have
when
fun.
I defeated you. I just wanted you to know what it felt like last year when you won by a decimal.
Yeah.
After the points had been tabulated already.
No, I totally get that. I wanted to give that.
I want to shout out Cross Ice for having another good bid with Cannibal Corpse. Yeah, Cross Ice. All right. See, we're going to sit next to each other, and when they say, hey, send in your text message to DTE Energy, light the lamp, coal music, and we're going to send in some Cannibal Corpse greatest hits. I like that. My man.
All right. Well, guys, not a great
result. Wait, we got two more comments. People will never jump in here. Let me throw them
okay.
in.
Okay.
White
okay.
people are failures. What a handle. Jesus. Saying Disturbed was hardcore for the time. Impossible to compare to today's more cynical world. I mean, they did Down with the Sickness. They had Indestructible. Remember Inside the Fire? We all love that song. And now they, you know, Sound of Silence, and it's a different band. So, yeah.
Yeah. Cross Ice Pass. Follow THPN Pod as of this week. Cross Ice Pass. Very cool. What's I can't read your name. What's the trying to see. It looks like you have a show description around your avatar. Everybody check out Cross Ice Pass.
Coach Steve, the Hockeyverse as a new voice for the people. I was trying to read the wheel. I had to go in a circle.
Oh, that's what you're doing. I'm sorry. Yeah, I pulled it away. All right. Everybody, I'm getting I'm sad. I'm tired.
Matt's just over there cutting onions, guys. He's not crying.
I got all this porn to look at. You know,
it's not real porn. He's just gonna watch old Datsuk highlights.
Still porn to me.
It's still real to me, damn it.
Mike, was that the greatest WrestleMania of all time?
Let's do 60 seconds on WrestleMania. If you guys love the last 30 minutes of Avengers Endgame, then you're going to love Sunday Night WrestleMania, because it was a shot-for-shot recreation with all your favorite wrestlers. The Rock, John Cena, Seth Rollins, and The Undertaker. I don't know why The Undertaker was there. He's not really part of any of these stories, but it was pretty cool to see him.
Should have been Stone Cold.
Yeah,
I'll say that.
That would have been
Stone Cold to come out and stun The Rock. But I cried. So I don't know what came over me, but I was just watching it on my phone in my bed like this. And when
no, Danby, Haystacks Calhoun was not there. Jesus. but yeah, I mean, this was WWE flexing their might. Triple H, Paul Levesque has just been killing it booking wise.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a story almost 5 years in the making, from Seth Rollins turning on Roman Reigns all the way down to Cody Rhodes completing the story. His father never gets to complete his world champion. I don't know where you go from here. I mean, they really tied a bow on this thing, and that's a problem for writers at WWE. They finished a really good one.
That's a problem for Marvel, Mike. They didn't know what to do after Endgame. So I think we're good on WWE. I think we closed the book on that one. I think that's as good as it's ever going to be. Right? I don't know how you top it.
I mean, I know we still got some of my guys in the wings. I'm looking at you, Gunther. You know, Rhea Ripley is still going to do some incredible things.
All right, this is too much wrestling talk. All right, we're good.
I got to get my 2 minutes in there. I had Decoy shining in today, and I wanted to make sure he got a few minutes.
That was too much. Nobody knows who Gunther is. It's, we're bringing up The Rock, Undertaker. He's got to stick in that zone. All right, everybody. Jared, did Santino show up? God damn it.
Unfortunately,
he probably was there.
He did not. Well, he did at mid-ice. He hit Mo Sider in the knee for that Ovechkin goal. So the Cobra popped out and killed poor Sider.
All right, guys, we're going to sail off into the sunset, as our good buddy Stone Cold would say. Thanks for tuning in. Hit that like button if you guys had some fun. Subscribe if you want to make sure you don't miss anything going forward. And we'll see you next week. After the Montreal games, maybe it'll be a post game. Should we do another post game after Tuesday
night?
We
might have to. We're only going to have 4 more episodes, or I guess 1 more episode, 2 more episodes.
Hey, if we so we do the post game after Tuesday, that means the next week would be
off season reports,
Little Caesar's Pizza Grade episode.
I can't do it again.
I really thought if we made it to the playoffs, we should upgrade the restaurant or upgrade like the system. But like, if we miss the playoffs, I think it should stick as Little Caesar's Pizza items.
We might have to switch grades to like Greasy Spoon, Leo's Coney Island items, because I don't. It's going to be difficult.
Don't you want to call somebody a pizza puff?
I can't wait to name some pizza puffs.
You've got 4 pizza puffs you could name, because 4 come in a box. So,
all right, let's go off into the sunset.
Thanks, everybody.
We'll see you guys next time. Go Wigs!
Woo!
Go Wigs!